So we've had some dealers not do quite the right thing over the last few years, particularly because the prices have been so high. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about bait and switch. And in this video, we're going to talk a little bit about why dealers would do that. Well, we know that dealers aren't, for the most part, the most upstanding of citizens, try to do things by the book. But what are some of the reasons behind why they would try to use these tactics to try to get you? And we'll talk a little bit about what you can do to avoid getting caught by the bait and switch tactics by that some of these dealerships use. So we'll go back to the origins of this and why are they doing this? So right now, with the prices being so elevated, you have dealers that are trying to get your business in any way possible. And how do most people shop for cars right now? How do they find where they want to go buy their vehicle? And that's through the internet. So the way that things are set up is that when you're going to go buy a car and you're starting to look on the internet, a lot of people will shop. They'll list the prices from lowest to highest. So now, how would a dealer get the top priority, get your eyeballs first on their dealership in front of every other dealership that's posting on all of these sites? Because I can tell you, every one of these dealerships are posting on every single one of these sites. Advertising budgets are through the roof because they're trying to get your eyeballs on their cars. So how do they get that top priority? Well, they have to be the cheapest price. And how do they do this? Even though they want to charge you a more expensive price whenever you get to the dealership, well, what they'll do is they'll say, okay, this Toyota Camry that we're selling, it's $8,000 off, and we're selling it for $22,000. And that's what they'll list it online on CarGurus, Carfax, whatever they're using, Facebook Marketplace. They'll put it for $20,000 on there, and they'll try to get you in the door because they think that if they can get you in the door, the salespeople, they're trained to be able to whisper sweet nothings to you, to be able to offer you these free drinks, get you to come and sit down, let you get in the car, let you smell the new car aroma, get you all comfy and cozy. And then even though the price is more expensive than what you thought it was, you're still going to buy. So whenever you get to that dealership and you see, okay, well, yeah, it's listed at $20,000, but then you've got a market adjustment of $2,000. You've got a recon fee of another $2,000. You've got nitrogen for $1,000. Nitrogen, hate nitrogen. You've got your dock fee of $9.99. I mean, we've seen dock fees all over the place, anywhere from $200. You've seen them all. If you're in Florida, then it's not rare for you to see a dock fee that's over $1,000. So you'll see a lot of these dealerships that will keep on tacking on these extra fees. And the FTC is trying to do something about this, a lot of this nonsense that's going on in the marketplace. But this is how they do their version of the bait and switch. They'll put a lower price on there to get your priority view on it, to get the lowest listing. And then when you get to the dealership, you're not paying that $20,000 for that Camry. You end up paying $28,000 for that Camry when everything is said and done, because when they're listing these things online at this moment in time, they don't have to list the fees that they're charging you. They don't have to put how much their dock fees are. They don't have to put that you have to buy nitrogen. You have to buy air. You have literally some of these dealerships, if you want to buy a car from them, you have to buy air from them to be able to buy their cars. So this is how they get you. This is why the bait and switch tactic, it's so common right now, because these dealerships, they're fighting tooth and nail to get your business, especially right now when prices are so high. People are looking for more affordable cars. They're looking for the best price. And because demand is drying up on the dealership side, so there's going to be more scams out there. There's going to be more bait and switch. You're going to see it happen more and more and more as demand continues to dry up and as inventory levels continue to rise at these car dealerships. So you have to know how to spot this and not waste your time, because the biggest thing is, a lot of times you're going to be able to get to the dealership. You're going to be able to know immediately whenever they're doing this. So it's just going to be a big waste of time for you, and you want to avoid it. So now we'll get into the next thing. how do you avoid this, these bait and switch tactics? Well, a lot of this can be solved by just a phone call. Now, there's a lot of dealerships that they'll be shady over the phone and they might not give you the true price or whatever, but you can actually talk to the salesperson. You can talk to the sales manager and be like, look, okay, I'm coming to your dealership. I need to know exactly how much I'm going to pay before I get there. I see that you have this listing for this Camry for $20,000. I just want to know what fees, because it seems like it's standard for you to charge me like a dock fee. So I just try to be as upfront as you can on your side. And they might choose not to be upfront on their side, but if you ask for their fees, 9 times out of 10, a lot of these dealerships are going to go ahead and tell you what you're going to have to pay before you get there. So a lot of this can be avoided just by a phone call. Ask them, what else do I have to pay? What's going to be my out-the-door price on this Camry that you're listing for $20,000? I need to know that. And then they should come back to you with, okay, with all this, our premier package, your paint protectant, your door edge guards, your air, we're going to give you some fancy air in your car, and you're going to end up paying $28,000. And that's what it's going to cost for our car. And if that's the case and you see ridiculous fees, these add-ons, that's not a dealership that you want to shop at. And there's easy ways for you to avoid this. And you can call around to many, many dealerships and find the actual prices that they're going to pay, the actual fees that you're going to have to pay at these dealerships. And please, if they're wanting to charge you for air, please do not shop there. All right, let's go to the chat. So we got Ron here. He listens to us all the time, watches us all the time. Ron is asking, what's the most common repair needed for high mileage cars? A lot of you watching, you know that the cars that we buy generally here at my dealership, I sell cars that are $5,000 and under. They are typically, they're higher mileage cars. So we buy anything. Well, it's funny. Yesterday, Alex actually bought a Ford Taurus with 56,000 miles. And he bought it for like $1,800. So every once in a while we have something with really low mileage, but that's not typically the case. Typically what we have is cars that have 150 all the way up to 200,000 miles. So Ron asked, what's the typical repairs that we have to do on these? Wheel bearings are really common for us. Coils are something that we replace all the time. Seems like we almost always get cars in that have misfires. And so with a misfire, it could be three things. It could be electrical. It could be spark from your spark plug. It'd be your coil, your wire, or your plug, or the cylinder's bad. But typically what it is for us is coils. So that's the most common thing that we have to deal with. When we're going through these cars, a lot of them have small leaks like valve cover leaks. If a previous owner, hadn't taken care of, just through regular maintenance, things like that. The coils on these cars are by far our most common fix, that we have to deal with. So here we go. We have a question. What will happen to your dealership when you can't get cars to sell? Sales stop and the economy screeches to a halt. Layoffs. I see a lot in the comments that people are thinking that the economy is just going to blow up, and everything's going to go to zero and cars are going to stop moving. I don't think that's going to be the case. Obviously, if the economy screeches to a halt and cars stop selling and people don't need to go to work anymore because everyone's lost their jobs, I mean, obviously that's doomsday situation. I don't think that's going to be the case in this economy. We had a situation back in 2008 where it was horrible, probably one of the worst, probably the worst recession I'll see in my lifetime. It would be my assumption. And even then, people still bought some cars and they still had to get to work and they're still trying to find jobs, and people didn't spend money, but they still, the world kept moving. And I really think if we have some kind of big recession this next time, if it's centered around the negative equity that we're seeing in the market, the repo situation that we're dealing with on the car side, yeah, it's going to be tough, but in my opinion, stuff's going to keep moving. People are still going to buy cars. It just might be slow. And usually recessions last, 2 to 3 years if they're really, really, really bad. I think we'll come out on the other side and we'll be okay as long as we're wise with the money that we're spending, as long as we are shoring up and making sure that we don't get too much leverage, which I don't use any leverage. I don't use any credit. Then I think we'll be absolutely fine. All right. So let's go to the next one. All right. Rambler asks, let's see here. Is that why CarMax is so popular? They don't bait and switch and don't play the finance games. That could be one thing, but I think the big reason why a place like CarMax is so popular was there's two reasons. One is going to be the ease of shopping. People hate to go to car dealerships and they hate to negotiate. My wife is one big example. She would be, if she wasn't married to me, probably a CarMax shopper, just because she would pay more money to not have to deal with the negotiation process that is common when you go to a dealership. So for people like that, they actually enjoy going to CarMax. I've had a lot of people make comments when I do a lot of these CarMax videos that they're like, yeah, I know I'm paying more, but the process is easy. It's all in one place. You can go. And this is one thing I love about CarMax is I can go to CarMax, walk their lot, and I can see tons and tons and tons of different vehicles that are just unlocked. I can get into them. I can feel them. I don't even have to talk to a sales associate, and I can get the feel of almost every different kind of used vehicle that's just a few years old on their lot. And I think that's amazing. That's a big benefit for CarMax. And that's why I think a lot of people will choose to go shop at CarMax. Now, for this ease and for the availability of these different vehicles that they have just right there, yeah, you're going to pay a lot more for it. That's okay, because some people choose to do that, and that's fine. That's CarMax's business model. But the second reason why CarMax is so popular and why a lot of people buy their cars is because CarMax might be the only place that they can get a loan. So CarMax is basically just a glorified buy here, pay here dealer. And when I say buy here, pay here dealer, that means that it's a dealership that sells their own cars and they also write their own loans. So you can go to CarMax and you can buy one of their cars. You can get it financed through CarMax, and they can run your credit there, and they can do everything in-house. You don't have to go to a bank. You don't have to deal with anything. That you just go right in there, and that goes right back into the ease factor for a lot of consumers. Recently I've talked to, there was a CarMax employee that I talked to one time when I went there to do one of our videos, and he was saying that they were having a lot of people come in, and they were saying that they were trying to go get a car at Toyota, Ford, whatever, all these dealerships. And they were all getting denied at all of these franchise dealerships, but they would come into CarMax and they would get approved. So CarMax was taking a lot of these consumers, and has been taking a lot of these consumers that don't have the best credit and would be denied from other financial institutions, and CarMax is giving them a loan. So this is good for that consumer that needs to get in a car, wants to have a nicer car. They're going to pay dearly for it. But the problem that I see for CarMax going forward is if they're writing these loans to people that were not getting approved from these other financial institutions, as times get tougher and as inflation, I mean, as we know, everything costs so much. I think what we're going to see in the next few quarters from CarMax is that as they were writing more of these subprime loans to people who probably shouldn't have gotten approved, they're going to see their delinquencies go up more than the average. They're going to see their repo rates go up more than the average. Now, there's another benefit on CarMax's business model, though, is that they're able to repo their own cars, and then they can run them through their own auctions. So if they are not going to resell that car that they're repossessing from their customer on their lot, which most of them, they're probably not, because as you've seen from a lot of our videos, repos are typically not in the best condition. But they don't have to pay fees to any auction company. They can do everything in-house. And this is a great thing about CarMax's business model. I know I talk a lot negative about CarMax a lot, and especially in our videos, because I don't like their pricing models, and I do think management has handled some things differently than I would have. they know better than me. They're running a multi-billion dollar company. So I'm on the outside looking in saying this is wrong, whatever. They're for their business, they're probably doing the right thing. I don't agree with it, but to each their own. I even lost what I'll say. Okay, everything. It's a great thing about their ecosphere as far as their business model. Everything's in-house. So they can sell you the car. They have customers bring them cars to buy cars, and then they sell the car off their lot. They can write their own loan, and then if the loan goes default, and they can go pick up their own car, and then they can run it through their own auction. They can do that all in-house. And this is why CarMax has been able to, especially over the last few years, make a lot of money. And I think even as times get worse, and if delinquency rates keep going up and repo rates keep going up, I think CarMax will get hit a little bit harder than most of these other financial institutions. But they have that that backstop, that ease of being able to dump these cars at their own auctions. And small used car dealers like me, we go to the CarMax auctions and we buy them. So they have an easy out for some of these loans that maybe they shouldn't have wrote. And maybe that's why they have been more open and willing to writing some of these less than stellar loans, is because they know that the risk versus reward is there for them, because they're not going to have to spend a lot of money on the back end to be able to actually get rid of them. All right. Let's ask another question. I'm not asking a question. You're asking a question. All right. Old Dog says, have you been buying any of these repo cars? So we do buy repos every once in a while. I would say that it's very difficult for us to buy a repo, because we have a certain standard of the kind of cars that we can buy. We want them to be mechanically sound. We want to spend as few amount of dollars, the least amount of money. We want to spend as little amount of money. There we go. As possible after we buy a car, so we can price it to our customer as cheaply as possible. And a lot of these repos, they need a lot of work. So we're typically able to figure that out when we're looking at these cars and we're going through them. And I would say 9 out of every 10 repo cars that we look at, they're no-goes, because they're too far gone for us to buy. Even with us buying cars that a lot of dealers don't want to buy because we're selling at $5,000 and under, even with our range being a little bit more, because Alex can fix a lot of stuff, so we'll take on some stuff that other dealers won't take on because it doesn't cost us as much to fix it since we have a mechanic on staff. But even with that, we still, it's like 1 out of every 10 repos that we look at that we're actually going to want to buy, because they're just in such bad shape. They don't even meet our standards for what we want to buy. All right, let's see here. Let's go to something else. Did he change the name of his channel, or is this a new one? This is a new channel. It's actually been around for, I don't know if I can even use new channel anymore, but this channel has been around for a while now. This is mainly going to be for our live streams. We might throw some interviews on here too. So this is CQA Live. So if you haven't subscribed to this channel, make sure you're subscribing to it. All right. So let's go to the next question. Here we go. All right. So what is the general condition of most cars you're seeing at auctions? Better, worse, or about the same as last year? I would say that, from last year, the cars are about the same, but, for us, the cars that we're buying, the quality is a little bit better. And I'll tell you, it all has to do with price, and there's nothing to do with the quality of cars that are being traded in, because that's the same. Overall, compared to now versus 4 years ago, quality is way down. But for us, if you're doing year over year, the kind of car that we can buy now is a lot better than the car that we could have bought a year ago. And the reason being is because prices have dropped so much. And I know on the retail side, and what you guys are seeing, like, I'm not seeing prices come down yet. And on the retail side, they have come down, but not in a big clip. But on the wholesale side, prices have come down in a big, big way since last year. So the cars that were $3,500, $4,000 last year, those cars are dropping down to $2,500, $3,000 of what we can buy. So that tier of car that was out of our range, because that $3,500, that $4,000 car wholesale was out of our range, because I can't get that car, fix it, and then be able to get it to my consumer for $5,000 and under. But whenever those cars drop by $500, $1,000, all those tier of car dropped into our range. So that quality of vehicle has been way better than the same quality of car that we were in, the same range of car that we were able to buy last year. So it has gotten better for us. And we've been able to sell more cars this year because of it, because we're able to buy more and we're able to buy better cars for the same price that we were buying a year ago. So that's a good upside for us this year, and something I'm looking forward to as the prices continue to drop. My quality is going to go up because we're going to be able to be a little bit more picky on the vehicles that we buy, because they're just going to be more vehicles out there for us to buy, even though the amount of vehicles at these auctions haven't risen almost at all. And the new car dealers aren't selling any more than what they were selling last year. So it's about the same, if not less, overall for the auctions. It's just we get more of the piece of the pie because the slice of pie has shifted down more into our range, if that makes any sense. I feel like that was good enough, but maybe not. Cars are cheaper, so we're able to buy better quality cars for our price range. There you go. That's the short answer. But I want to thank you guys for watching this. Check us out on our podcast here. Subscribe if you haven't, like this video, and we're also on X. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Bye.